Welcome to another edition of the Indie Investor Speakeasy. Bourbon on this one because it's 10 o'clock in the morning, so.
If we act like it's bourbon.
You guys might judge us if we, well, you don't know what time it is, so.
Yeah.
It's Masters. It's Masters weekend. So today was kind of an impromptu one. I think we're just going to talk a little bit about private money. What the advantages, the disadvantages, how to go about it. If you're the private money or if you are the one actually using the private money. Randy, do you want to give a little brief summary of what private money lending is?
Yeah, man. So if anyone's not familiar with the term private money or real estate investing, it's literally any funding outside of any conventional way of getting financing for a deal. So the typical way is going to a bank or like a hard money lender, getting a loan on the property that you're looking to purchase. Typically you put money down. And it's very structured as like, I guess, like how a bank would want to write up a loan for just any given person. So private money is going to private individuals in your network, just referrals from other investors. But basically you want to work with people who have maybe some money in their IRAs, money just sitting in their bank, money in the market where they want to pull out and put into, they want to fund a real estate project and basically get higher returns than they would if they were keeping the money in my account somewhere or in the stock market, wherever it is. And typically when you use private money, if you have a good deal, most of them would probably fund the whole deal and just get, 10 to 12% on the back end, maybe a couple points depending who you're working with. But the key is that you don't have to put 10, 20% down on a property to secure it. The private money will take care of that. Depending on who you work with, again, they could fund the whole rehab as well, but the majority of the time they're willing to fund the whole purchase and then they get paid off whenever the home sells or you refinance. So it's just private individuals, can be your doctor, if your rich uncle, whoever it is, who's willing to put their money up and basically get a passive return.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, I know a lot of people will say, like, it's kind of a difficult conversation to have with family sometimes, especially if you've never done it before.
Yeah. Credibility is huge.
Credibility is huge. And then, I mean, I would say the one thing that you can talk to them about when you're going through this is that your money's actually backed by something tangible, like real estate.
Yeah.
And I mean, if they have any kind of, you know, they can look that up on Zillow and be like, yeah, I can see where I'm basically, you should be buying this at like 75% or wherever you want to be with your numbers of wherever the value is. So they should have some equity built in already.
Yeah.
In a sense, like if Randy and I fall off the face of the earth,
they have a property.
They have a property that they can go sell and should hopefully be able to still make money on it.
Yeah.
Probably more money than what they would have made in just the interest, which is how it should work out. Because, like, if Randy and I are borrowing money, we're doing all the legwork and finding the deal, doing the rehab or whatever we're doing with it, doing the refinance or doing the selling of it. So, I mean, in my mind, we should be making a little bit more money. We're putting the effort in, whereas the private money still makes a good amount of money, because I think typical terms are anywhere from 8 to 12%, sometimes, depending on who you're working with, higher.
Yeah, it depends on, like, the length that the money's going to be held for.
A minimum return.
Yeah, Brooks and I do a lot of quick turnarounds. They call it wholetail. So that's when you just actually buy the house and just clean it out, put it on the market. Those typically turn around. The goal is 30 days or less. Sometimes it takes 30 to 60 days, but the terms of your rates just depend on how long the money's going to be sitting there, what the return of the investor wants. But you touched on like the credibility part and, making sure the numbers work for the investor. Anyone that we've ever worked with for the first time, we provide them CMA. Photos of the property, videos if we have it, a complete breakdown on like scope of work, roughly of what the property is going to need, and the ARV, so they can see on paper and they've got data that they can back up saying, hey, like you said, if Brooks and Randy fall at the face of the earth, I couldn't sell this property without putting a finger on it and make my money back. Plus some.
Yeah. And another thing to mention is when we do these, we put our lenders as the first position lien on these properties. So it's not like
they're insured.
They're on our insurance. We actually get the insurance and we name them as an additionally insured as well. So it's not like you're blindly handing money out. And then you have to go through the whole process of like really trying to figure out how you're going to get this property into your name, because we either skipped town or we were in a tragic car accident or whatever. To go through that whole process, you are the first position lien on it. So you get the property. You can actually take the property back. So,
yeah.
So it's kind of like a no brainer for a lot of private money guys, because we'll sit there and we'll present something like, here's a property at 123 Main Street for $100,000. We need $100,000 to buy it. We're predicting that we can either resell this thing for at least $125,000 without doing anything to it. Or we flip it and hopefully we can get closer to like $200,000, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Whatever the numbers end up being, and you're sitting there looking at it like, hey, okay, so even worst case scenario, I take the property and I can make, I got $25,000 built into this already because it's already worth $125,000.
Yeah.
So it's really pretty secure in the sense that like, you know, and we're giving you a better return, 10%, 1 point, 2 point, 3 points. It just depends on the property and the person that we're dealing with and how long we've been working with them. A lot of times we'll give like we have in the past given like a 3 month minimum return on stuff. So just that way you don't sit there and be like, all right, I'm going to give out all this money for a month. I'm not making that much money on it. We understand that on some of them, and we give that 3 month cushion to like, all right, here's your minimum that you're going to make for sure. But there are other stuff that we end up flipping, and it could take a year to get the whole thing done. Then you do get the whole 10% for the whole 4 years
interest.
Yeah.
Maybe a point on the front end, who knows, but
in structure.
Yeah. Again, it's all investor preference. And especially in the beginning, I think private money is probably everyone's any access to capital in general.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's everyone's biggest, I feel like, struggle in the beginning if you're trying to scale. Like if someone's looking to do 1 to 5 deals a year, they're most likely not utilizing private money. They're probably just getting, bank financing and refining out. But most of everyone we work with, including us, are looking to scale. Access to capital is huge, and that's the game changer. And sometimes in the beginning, you have to kind of prove your worth and maybe give up part of the deal just to get a deal secured. So you can offer just your general private money terms to an investor, but also say, hey, I can give you a cut of our profit if we make over X amount, which we should. And then that would be on top of whatever they made on their interest, 4 points. So that's something that you can do as well, just to give them more meat. Once you prove yourself, and you do more volume with that person, then they would probably most likely come down to being like a normal private lender.
Yeah. And also different ways to structure it too. Like, I mean, there's some instances where we pay that interest only payment every single month, because some investors like that payment coming in every month. And I would say most of our private money people that we have used now are kind of in the mindset of like, yeah, we'll just do however long you keep it. We'll pay that interest back, or just pay me the interest back at closing in the end when you sell it, plus the point. Like, it's almost like it's way easier for us and for them to do it all at the end, which is great for us, obviously, because it takes one last thing off our plate to make the payment every month, and setting all that stuff up is just one less admin task for both sides. And then on the other side of that, it's like you said, we have people who they want to see, like, let's do one deal and then And then we can scale up and do multiple deals at a time.
Yeah.
We've even hit instances, like we've just hit an instance where like we have almost too many deals and not enough capital. Just for whatever, we just have a lot of good deals coming through and we're like, all right, we need to, we don't have enough to spread out to everybody. So, I mean, it, and it happens to everybody who's trying to scale, I feel like, because everyone's run into that. Even us who are doing a good bit of deals, you're always going to run into that. And, it's just something that that's always a need. And it's definitely something that I think Randy and I would like to get into at some point as well, like doing the private money side. I know a couple of other of our friends are doing it and are starting to get into it. I mean, it's just, it's way more passive. There's a lot of advantages to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So how would you go about, what do you think the best way to go about is of finding people, groups when it comes to private money?
On the investor side, as far as like doing like boots on the ground?
Just finding people to fund your deal.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I know you've mentioned in the beginning, like friends and family is probably the way you people want to go, but and just when you're dealing with family and private money, real estate, with a little experience, it kind of
puts people off a little bit.
It's kind of in the gray area, but what's your opinion on that?
I just say talk about it. Like, I mean, just put stuff on Facebook, like what you're doing. And then people just start to get interested and talk about it around people in your business circles. Explain to them what you're doing. And if you just explain like, hey, here's the return that we give to people, or here's what we're planning on doing. A lot of times, like how I started, I had to start with hard money at first. And
yeah,
I mean, and that just, and then you put together a credibility pack and say, hey, here's what we've done in the past. And it's been a win-win on both sides, and show that, it makes it a whole lot easier to go to somebody and say, hey, here, or you email them and say, hey, here's the returns that we gave X, Y, and Z, or here's how this one worked out. And it just gives people a little bit more comfort in knowing that. But I mean, I still think it should give people a little bit more comfort knowing that they have, security and equity built into the deal.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I definitely agree. I think when it comes to friends and family, it's best not to directly ask them for money.
If they want to get involved, they can come to you.
If they want to get involved, they can come to you. But I always found like keeping them curious always works. So like if you're just, and this is going for anybody, but like if you're just hanging out where, cousins, uncles, whoever it is at a family gathering, you know, talk about what you're doing and then explain like how you had success selling these couple houses. And most of the time people are like, oh, did you buy that with your own money? Like, well, actually I had someone just like you and I fund this deal, and they made passively return on it, and you know, got their money back with them, you know, 60, 90 days or whatever it is. And now they're doing another deal. They're like, oh, how does that work? And then now it just organically, you know, starts that conversation rather than you saying, hey, I got this deal, would you be interested in funding it? And they're like, hey, I don't know what you're talking about. And why would I give you all my money?
Yeah. Inevitably, it always comes up. Like, it's like, what are you doing for work these
always
days?
Comes up. Yeah.
How's work going?
Especially when you're in real estate, everyone wants to know how the market is.
Yeah. And then they ask the question, like, oh, so you're in it. Like, what are you doing investing? Okay. And then it just keeps snowballing.
Yeah.
And then it all, I feel like it always comes to that question, like, well, how are you financing all these deals? Because everyone's like, what are you, a millionaire? Like, how do you buy all this stuff? And it's like, okay, well, let me explain. And this can be a really good avenue for somebody who, I don't know, parents, uncles, anything like we were talking about, who have retirement accounts, who are either tired of doing whatever the market is doing and watching it do this, and they can put it into a self-directed IRA and not have to have the tax liability and still be able to invest in the real estate. I mean, there's ways around it. You have to research a little bit and look into self-directed IRAs a little bit, but I would say majority of people are doing it that way in terms of the private money side. And that's another way that you can kind of guide them. I don't like giving a ton of advice on it because we're not financial advisors. or tax people, but I mean, it's an avenue to say, hey, I would look into this. I've had people in the past. This is how they did it. You should look into it. I'm not going to tell them that's how you need to do it. So,
yeah.
But yeah, there's a ton of different avenues in all those conversations, like you said, at these family events, at your wife's work event, at whatever, whenever these conversations come up, it always snowballs because, like you said, I feel like everyone's interested in real estate, and there's a ton of people who are tire kickers. Like they know that real estate's a good investment, and they're always asking questions, but never
analysis paralysis. Never people.
Yeah. But I mean, inevitably, you're gonna get somebody who's like, "All right, well, let's try one." I get what you're saying. I've done enough research at this point, and then came across us and started asking questions. So it's happened on the golf course. I mean, the whole time. I'm at the airport asking people, "What do you do for a living?"
Yeah,
it snowballs all the time in different ways. So that would be my advice for sure. Just talk about what you're doing from whoever you're doing. I mean, it could be as simple as like, "Randy, what do you do for a living?" And then they're all going to come back and ask you at some point, "What do you do for a living?"
It's always like, I always get that question. Man, it's so hard for people. Like, I always explain it differently. I really need to come down. I really need to like start like perfecting my pitch because
it's
it depends
hard
on who I'm talking to. If it's someone who knows something about real estate, I'm like, "Oh, like I'm in wholesale real estate." They're like, "Oh, I've kind of heard of that." If I tell someone who's not in real estate at all, in real estate wholesaling, then they're like, "I have no idea what you just said."
Or they've heard it's bad.
So then I basically explain it at, not disrespectfully, an elementary level. Like, "Hey, I buy a house
and then get it at this price and sell it at this price to someone who has to flip it."
So it's always interesting when that question comes up, but that always leads them to like, "Wait, so you buy the houses?" They're like, "Well, how do you do that?"
Sometimes
I do, sometimes I don't, but here's each scenario.
Every time I say like, I'm a real estate investor, like, "Oh, so you own like commercial," like they always get the commercial stuff. Like, "I want commercial stuff." Yes.
When I say that, like people like walking around my neighborhood, they'll stop by. If I did nothing before, someone right here, they're like, "Oh, so you flip houses?" Like they just think it's just real estate investing is flip.
HGTV.
I'm like, yeah,
sometimes
it's always sometimes. But that's funny because that's my response I always get. They always think of like the HGTV stuff. So
yeah,
I haven't gotten them. Sometimes say, "Oh, commercial." So
yeah, they're always like, "Oh, like a, I don't know, like some kind of commercial or like apartment building." Like, yes, I would love.
Sometimes.
Like, I'm looking for that sometimes. Yes. But yeah, same thing. It's always HGTV stuff too. They're like, "Oh, you do it like that." I'm like, similar. Yes, like. You're on the right path.
We get the house before it's pretty.
Yeah.
Like before they even get.
And sometimes we do that. But I mean, if you're investing, a lot of times you watch these HGTV shows and there's no way the amount of rehab they do in these things and the price that they're putting up there, how much the rehab costs. I'm like, it's way more than that.
Because
they do a phenomenal job by all intents and purposes. But I mean, they're over rehabbing everything.
Yeah,
and they're beautiful.
Yeah.
But,
some of those shows they're doing a full rent out at like $40,000. I'm like, there's no way.
Yeah.
But
friends and family, just normal conversation. And the best way to find private money in like the professional setting, I think, is just going to like your local RIAs because there's going to be people there with private money. There's going to be experienced flippers there who probably have money, burning a hole in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll just go ahead and fund a deal until they wait to find their next deal. So those are the areas like the professional setting, networking events where you can actually pitch a deal to someone and not feel like you're coming off as like, "Hey, I'm
salesy."
Yeah, exactly. It's like, "Hey, I got this deal. You're pretty experienced in this. If you'd be willing to fund it, here's the return I'm offering." Kind of open to discussions on that and just see if it's there. So those are the areas where you can kind of directly kind of put deals in front of
people. And those people who haven't, like the flippers who are aspiring investors, I guess I should say, they want to, a lot of them will be willing to like fund that deal. And then with the caveat, like, "Hey, can you take me through how you're doing this?"
Yeah.
Like almost like as a paid mentorship in a sense. So there's different ways. And that's a great way. I mean, if you have never done it before and you have money burning all in your pocket, I mean, that's an easy education and make money. You can't, like, you're not, more than likely, you're not going to lose money doing that. And you can gain
experience.
But then
again, like, if they got into a deal with someone who didn't perform on the order, they get the house.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, you shouldn't go, like, you're not going to go into it, buy it wrong, just $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $50,000, whatever it is. And you get like a free education. Like, yeah, just include, like, I would say, like, I want to be included, like, in your Slack channel. Let me know when you're going out to the property, like, how are you analyzing this deal?
All the updates.
What calculator are you using? What spreads are you looking for? Like, and everything like that. It's a, it's actually a paid for education. You make money doing this.
Yeah. There's some money up front, but then you make money back.
You make the interest and you make the experience. You build the experience. Yeah. And you can literally sit there and say, you could take this to like your first private money person and say, hey, this is the deal I did. Even though you were not the flipper per se on that deal, but you were involved in that deal. Now you have experience. Now you can say, hey, here's what I've done.
Yeah.
It just gives you, it's a free way into gaining experience. I keep saying free, but you should be making money and getting experience at the same time.
Yeah. I thought so. Anything else you want to touch on? I know it's a quick episode today. Anything else you want to touch on private money?
I don't think so. I think we did a pretty good job.
Yeah, like I said, a little short episode this time. I just wanted to sprinkle what we've been talking about on our side of the business here, and kind of where, like, that's where our focus is right now. We're always looking to raise capital, you know, access to funds. And
capital is always needed.
Yeah, right. So we thought we would just share what we've been talking about, what's been on our minds, and I'm sure it's been on other people's minds as well. So, I think that's a wrap for you, guy.
What?
Guy?